circumstances and situations into our favor. Nothing that the devil can present, Lord, will overcome us, because you make us more than overcomers, more than conquerors, Lord, that's who you make us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us to gather here in this place once more. God, we trust that the Spirit would minister to our hearts tonight through the word. Give us revelation and understanding. It's the revelation that keeps the devil at bay. It's the revelation that gives us power over the enemy, Lord. So reveal to us, Lord God, you said the gates of hell would not prevail against the rock of revelation. So help us to receive that tonight. Bless those that are here, those that are on the way, those that will join us online, and those that are unable to be with us tonight. Lord, look upon each one and just trust that you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just turning our Bibles to Hebrews 9. We'll just read a little portion of this before we get into our lesson for tonight. Hebrews 9. And I'll just start reading here at verse 1. It says, then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and the worldly sanctuary. And again, we brought that out as an earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. All right, he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. And we kind of went back through some of the Old Testament scriptures and brought that out on last week, how that Aaron did that. And he was the only one qualified to go into that most holy place like that and offer for himself as well as for the people. So verse 8 says this, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So there was no way for them to go in. The only person that could go in was that high priest and him alone, because the way had not been made for us to go into that place. Now, this is why, you know, the prophet made it very, very clear. He says that when in the Old Testament, when that most holy place existed, it was death if you were not the high priest. To go into that place, it was death. He says, but now after Christ has come and died, it's death if we remain out of that place. All right, so now it's no longer the high priest alone going there. God wants every believer dwelling in that place, and he says it's death if we remain out. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we've been kind of showing how, you know, you had those three compartments, the outer court, inner court, that most holy place, the holiest of all, that it's just very, very important that we understand it's in that most holy place that God wants to have fellowship with his people. Amen. In the most holy place. So here verse 9 says, which was a figure for the time then present, and in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices offered I'm sorry, that could not make him, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. I want to stop. Actually, no, let me go on because I might be able to. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." All right, so let's just, we'll stop there. I do want to go right to some of our key statements that we brought out when we first started this lesson. And then we'll move forward here. We'll kind of focus on verses 8 through 17 tonight if we can. Okay. This statement here that the prophet makes, let's see here. Hit next for me, please. The first statement says, but now God don't have any grandchildren. Every man, every woman, every boy, girls got to have an experience of entering into the holiest of holies and being born again. So we talked about how everybody has to go into that most holy place with God. Every person is required to go there. God is not satisfied with just us coming to church, right? You know, or, you know, and oftentimes, I mean, I have to just say it because I see it. I mean, oftentimes people are satisfied coming to church and getting baptized, and they actually feel like they have accomplished a lot. You know, I mean, man, I got baptized. But the prophet told us that you can go come in a dry center and come up a wet center, right? So it's not about just being baptized. And it's, and oftentimes I feel like sometimes people do things just to try to please the pastor. I ain't got no heaven to put nobody in. All I'm here to do is tell you the truth, what God looking for, right? The first thing is repent. Second thing, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Third thing, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But oftentimes the reason that people don't go in to receive the Holy Ghost because they're still holding on to things in the world, right? And they actually felt like, well, I got baptized. That's good. That's a nice outward showing. But that don't fill you with the Holy Ghost, right? Because that's going to, once you got the Holy Ghost, a lot in your life will change. Amen. If I could just put it this way, your nature changes. When you got the Holy Ghost, your nature changes, which means you don't even desire the things that you used to desire. Amen. Right? I mean, if you still struggle with some of the things in your old nature, then you know something will happen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God don't have grandchildren. Every man, every woman, every boy, girls got to have an experience of entering into the holiest of holies and being born again. All right? The next statement that the prophet makes here is, hit next for me, please. I don't know why. It says, and you are a stick, and you are a stick some kind. You was taken off the branch of humanity, which was God's created son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation, you were created to be a son of God. You may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the courts, but if you ever get into that glorious place and hit away with God, you'll yield what you're supposed to do. You'll yield what you're supposed to do. Amen. Again, that's what we're trying to bring people. Okay. The next one says, days I have my ups and downs, my wearies, my toss, my troubles. I wish I could live a victorious life. It says, well, you got to get out of the court. You've got to come in. Right? You've got to get out of the court, and you've got to come in. And I think it's good that I continue to reiterate that, because oftentimes people are like, how come I can't live a victorious life? You haven't come all the way in. Well, what do I need to do? Let go of everything? Well, what do I mean? I don't know what everything is. Everything to me, that means something different to you, right? Your everything might be something else. Glory to God. But everything to me is sometimes. Let me put it this way. So a single person, his everything might be to let go of some relationship they weren't supposed to be in the first place. Praise the Lord. That might be one of your everythings, right? You're not supposed to be in that relationship. You're not supposed to be doing anything like that. And maybe God trying to get you to let go of that before you can actually come all the way into Christ, right? So there's a lot of different, everybody has something different in their life that they're going through that God knows you're going through it. And you got to let it go if you really want to get all the way in Christ. Amen. But you can live a victorious life if you'll go all the way into that most holy place with God. It says somebody wants their name in some big something, but God's people want to shun that kind of stuff. They don't want great big things and great big something. They want to be humble. That humility, the way up is down. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be abased. Humble himself. Don't try to be a big something. Try to be a little something, but be what you are. See, be little in the sight of God. Be little in your own sight. Everybody else is above you. Let him that's greatest among you be minister to all. Now, I think that's a very powerful statement. You know, there was I remember a quote where Brother Branham talked about this young lady. She was, that time she was a very beautiful young lady. And there were some people that approached her and said that they wanted her to be on a cereal box or something. That they wanted to use her face as advertisement for this company. And the daddy looked at them and said, my daughter's face will not be used for anything like that. And they cut that company off and sent them away. Now, in today's world, I don't know if we have many people with that type of conviction that would say, no, you're not going to use my face for nothing like that. Right. Most of us will. No, we want people to use our face for something like that. It shows that there's been a tremendous shift. Right. A tremendous shift. Here, Brother Branham's telling us that we as God's people, we need to shun that. We need to shun that. Right. But he says they don't want great big things, a great big something. They want to be humble. Humility, the way up is down. That's the way we always want to remain humble. Glory to God. If you remain in humble, amen, and God is blessing, you can't stop that. Right. But it's another thing when you put yourself out there. Amen. It's a whole nother thing when you do that. And I was told by, one of my relatives, they said, because I was so impressed by, a status that they had achieved. And I said, man, that must be something. So, let me explain something to you, Jack. You say the higher up the flagpole you go, the more you are exposed. The more you are exposed. So the higher up the flagpole you go. Amen. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the higher up you go, the more consecrated your life gonna have to be. Because if you make a mistake when you're high up like that, a lot more people are affected. Amen. Right? And sometimes God stop you from getting up there because he know that, man, you're gonna make a mess of this thing, right? So the higher up the flagpole you go, the more you are exposed. The more you are exposed. Let God exalt you. Amen. Next statement that he makes here. So now if God before the world ordained that we should be holy and without blame and perfect in the sight of God, and we struggling and murmuring, and don't you think God seen all these things and he foreknew it and predestined, ordained us to be so, elected us before the world was ever formed. Now here's how he did it, and we're going to talk about that tonight, how he did it. Amen. The Holy Spirit woos the believer through the blood. Cleansing of the soul into the fellowship, into the spirit life, inside with Christ, shut out the world. And very nature of God is in you, still subject to mistakes, but God can't see it because it's covered by the blood. God can't see through the blood. I'm so glad of that, that God can't see through the blood. He don't look at my mistakes. He's looking at the blood. Now, this is something I think we'll hit tonight as well. It says, you'll never live to see the day that the picture comes into its value, because the testator is always dead before the testament is seen. I said, it'll be in the days after you're gone, he said, but right now, do you realize what that is? And I said, sir, it belongs to the American Photographers Association. I said, if Jesus Christ, my Lord, thought enough of me to come down in a battle like I was and have his picture taken with me, for the first time in all the world's history, I love him too well to commercialize it. I said, I will have nothing to do with it. I want to just try to save that until we get there, but we'll hit that again in our study tonight. All right. I want to go directly to slide 9. So we just go back here and read Hebrews 9, verse 8 through 14. It says this. You can leave that slide there. It says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holies of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time when time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Now, we mentioned this previously. What happened, they would bring their sacrifice to the temple, have it washed. Priests would cut the throat of this lamb or whatever it was that they were sacrificing. And the one that was bringing the sacrifice would have to identify themselves with their sacrifice by letting the blood, you know, get on their hands. And, you know, and they could see an innocent animal took their place. And it was supposed to, you know, maybe do something to their conscience. But oftentimes what happens is that they go through this ceremony and then at the end of it go right back to living the same old life that they were living before, right? It never really stopped. And they come the very next year repenting of the exact same sin all over again. So, you know, the conscience was never really clean, you know. It was more animals dying. And it got to the point where it's so ritualistic that they stopped raising the animals, and now they're starting to buy the animals, you know, at the temple. So Jesus had to beat them out of the temple because they lost the sincerity of what they were doing over years. Now, in all honesty, I believe the church, again, today has lost the sincerity of what they're doing. Amen. There's a lot that could probably go with that. People don't repent like they used to repent. You almost got to pay people to come to the altar. And people know they need to get to God. In my day, you know, when we do something wrong, we got to church, we got to the altar. Now, before that, you know, the preacher would even start preaching, people go running to the altar, right? And it was a lot of people afraid of the altar. But, you know, really, when you look at that picture that we had earlier, that before you went into the most holy place, you had to go through an altar. Amen. Before you went into that most holy place, you had to go through an altar, right? So really, we shouldn't be afraid of that anymore. If things are not right, don't be ashamed to go into God's presence and say, Lord, I want to get right. Amen. Don't be ashamed of that. We worried about who's going to talk about us. They ain't got no heaven or hell for you. None of them, right? So don't worry about what folk think. Not what your God thinks, right? Amen. We gotta get beyond that. We won't lift our hands because of what somebody gonna think. Ain't that why we come here to worship?
Right? I mean, I'm coming to worship. You coming to worship? Well, let's, you know, like David said, magnify the Lord with me. Don't look at me. Just praise him with me. Right? But we don't allow these different spirits to come to the church, and now that's binding with the Spirit of God. We don't want that. No, we want where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. We want folk to be free to praise God, to let him know that, Lord, I love you and I appreciate you for what you've done for me. Amen. Glory to God, church, right? So, you know, we start looking at some of these things. The blood of Jesus Christ now is supposed to take that thing out of our conscience. So we might have come to the Lord one way, but once we've come and we've really repented, we come back with sincereness in our heart, then we'll see, you know, we'll see the filling of the Holy Ghost happen then, right? Because we can, like I said, we can go through the motions, and you're not doing anything if you're just trying to please the pastor. You ain't done nothing. Your objective is to please God. Please God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the verse goes on to say this, verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Verse 11 and Hebrews 9, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I love that. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's just look at something here. Matthew 27. I mentioned that last week, but let's just turn there real quick. Matthew 27. It says, once he entered in. Matthew 27, I believe, is what gives us a picture of that. And we'll start at verse 49. It says, the rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Right? So here we see that as Jesus was on the cross dying for our sins, the tabernacle, that most holy place, the veil that would block people from going in, that was rent, torn in two. And notice the scripture says it was torn from the top to the bottom, which shows that God had to tear it, not man, right? So Jesus entered into that place. I mean, the veil was rent in two, and now we all have access through the blood of Jesus to go into this place with God and have fellowship. And that's exactly where he wants us. That's where he wants us. Let's look at another scripture here. Turn with me at just Hebrews 10. Starting over here at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, right? And we can come in with boldness once we recognize what the blood of Christ has done for us. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. See, sincerity. A true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. I love that. I mean, don't waver. If you know God has washed you from your sins, Don't go back and try to let the devil remind you of something that you did. If you know it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Amen. You need to put yourself up a no fishing sign and tell the devil he can't go fishing, because that thing has been dropped into the sea of God's forgetfulness. So don't waver. If you know it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Now, if it's not under the blood, you need to get it under the blood. All right. Praise the Lord. I want to, let's go back. Yeah, okay, that slide there. We'll read a couple quotes here. It says, someday when life is over, friend, I've often wondered what will take place when all the redeemed of all ages stand around, when we crown him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when angels will stand with bowed heads, not knowing what we're talking about. It says, they don't know what it is to sin. They never fail. They don't know what it is to be lost. They never was lost. But we who has been lost and been found and redeemed and claimed back and brought out of the devil's pawn shop by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrificial death, I'm telling you, talk about screamings and hollerings and going on, it'll be that day when the redeemed. Wow. Now notice what he said there. If you've been brought out of the devil's pawn shop by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing his sacrificial death, he says, there's going to come a day. And he talked about on the other side. He says, you talk about screamings and hollerings and going on. So that tells me there ain't going to be no quiet people in heaven. There's going to be screaming folk in heaven. You know what? It's going to be screaming folk in heaven and also screaming folk in hell. Which one you want to scream in? Praise the Lord. And if we're in heavenly places, why can't we scream a little bit down here? Amen. You say screamings and hollerings. All right. So I want to kind of hit a couple quotes here. You can take me to that Word document there. Start at slide 9, please. And I just want to finish reading a couple scriptures here. Verse 13 and 14 in Hebrews 9 says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, it says that he was offered without spot to God. We'll find that in a second. Let's go to a couple quotes here. This is out of the Message, the Position of a Believer in Christ. Says now, the subject is perfection. Now, how can mortal man ever become perfected? And yet God said in his word that he chose us to be holy and perfected before the foundation of the world. How are you going to do that? And Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is that right? Now, that's Matthew 5:48. Jesus gave us the commandment to be perfect as our Father in heaven was perfect. Now, the problem is that when we look at ourselves, we don't see perfection. That's because you're looking at the wrong thing. When God looks at you, amen, in the eyes of perfection, he's not looking at you. He knows that you will probably never do it. But Christ is who he looks at. And Christ was the perfect sacrifice that took our place. So he's not looking at us. He's looking at him. And what we need to do is get our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on him. The only time you start sinking in your faith is when you take your eyes off of him. Praise the Lord. He says, now, if God before the world ordained that we should be holy and without blame and perfect in him, perfect in the sight of God, and we struggling and murmuring, don't you think God, seeing all these things, and he foreknew it and predestined, ordained us to be so, elected us before the world was ever formed? Now, here's how he did it. He says in the 9th chapter and 21st verse. Now, I actually, based on what he's getting ready to say, it should have been the 9th chapter and 11th verse. And it says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So that's where he's going. Neither by the blood of goats, cows, but by his own blood, he has entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Under the law, under the shadow. They entered in under the shedding of the blood of goats and bulls, which were right through, which could not take away sin. It was the life of an animal. How could the life and the spirit of a dead animal coming out of the blood, the son of life, breaking forth the blood that was shed, ever that life return back into an animal or to a man? The life of a lamb, of a heifer, of a goat, or animal that's been sacrificed after the blood has been broken for our sins, that's why it never returns back and having anything to do with a human being. It could not. But God, before the foundation of the world, foreordained that Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God, into a perfect cell that God himself created to bring blood into the world, to offer that blood. And if you can turn him down in this hour, love that the sinner that was in the blood cell with his love and the Holy Ghost himself after that offering of that man can come back and possess the believer, he bought eternal redemption. Amen. Now, when we go back to the Old Testament, we look at all the types, all the animals that they offer, all of those were types of what Christ would do when he came, you know, to die for our sins. So every animal, all the way back from Adam and Eve, when God took a lamb and slayed it and took the skin and wrapped Adam and Eve in that, it was a type showing that there would be a lamb that would be slain for our sins. One lamb would die for all and cover the sins of the world, and that lamb was the Lamb of God. Amen. It was all a type. Thank God for that. So let's go on a little further. It says, now did you get that? Then how seed through the blood, washing of the blood, taken away, separating of sin, that the Holy Spirit woos the believer through the blood, cleansing of the soul into fellowship, into this spirit life inside with Christ, shut out the world, and very nature of God is in you, still subject to mistakes, but God can't see it. Because it's covered by the blood, God can't see through the blood. Thank God. Every time he looks through the blood, it looks white. He looks through the blood, it looks white. So if God was so pleased with Christ till he accepted him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, and through Christ being the perfect one, us dead to our own thoughts and ideas, being born of the Spirit of God, walking not after the theology, but after the Spirit inside of us, then let the dead in Christ walk not after the things of the world, but after the things of the Spirit. Romans 8:1 said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, fighting war and strife, envy and selfish things, but after the Spirit. Now, I wanted to just quickly read here, because it said that he was without spot. Let's look at this, a couple scriptures about that. Let's go to Luke 23. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? They didn't have anything strong enough to wash at the conscience level. They didn't have anything strong enough. That's why they went out and just did the exact same thing over and over again. But see, when we've gone through the process the right way, the Bible says that we have a new heart, a new spirit, right? And then it said, then he'll put his spirit in the midst of that. And you know, that shows that the blood of Christ can actually really make the difference at the conscience level. A new heart, where we won't even desire to do the things we used to do. A new spirit, because sometimes we get anointed by the spirit of the world, right? But a new spirit is God's spirit. Brother Branham say the spirit that we had on us would not even get along with God's spirit, so he had to give us a new spirit. Think about that. The spirit that we had on us would not even get along with God's spirit, so he had to give us a new spirit before he could put his Holy Spirit in there. Amen. And oftentimes, folk get the new spirit and think they got the Holy Spirit. Nah, there's more to it than that. Amen. All right, Luke 23, verse 1. He was without spot. The whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. So you have to lead a lamb, you know, to the slaughter. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that was led to the slaughter. They led him unto Pilate. Look it. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, now let me just stop there. If I recall correctly, Jesus did make a statement, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. So here they are lying on him. Notice now that they're lying on Jesus, and he never says anything. They're lying on him. He never says anything. Let's go a little further. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him, said, thou sayest it. Verse 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. So when Pilate said that, it shows that he was the perfect sacrifice, because anytime they offer a lamb or a man to God, they had to bring a lamb that did not have any faults or blemishes. And here we find Jesus Christ with no fault, no blemishes. He was the perfect sacrifice to be offered for our sins. But I said he was standing there and they were lying on him and he said nothing. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. He was the perfect sacrifice. Offered himself without spot to God, without blemish to God. Let's look at verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. And what that means is to the harsh. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. I want y'all to get that. Suffering wrongfully, because Jesus was suffering wrongfully, did not say a word. He sat there and heard them lie and didn't say a word. Suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. So what they're saying is like, if you're being, you know, chastised for something that you actually did wrong, you can't sit there and talk about, I'm just taking this for the glory of God. No. You did wrong. And so what you sowed, you reaping, right? So you ain't taking that for the glory to God. You're taking that because you did wrong. However, it says this, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. See, when I read things like this, I have to question, Lord, what does my Christianity look like? Lord, help me. I can say that to myself. I can say that for myself. Lord, help me. Brother Brooks was sharing a testimony. He was saying how he went to a car wash place, and he got a push start button for his car in some kind of way. Every time he go to the car wash place, they push that button and get it jammed. They just get it jammed every time. But then one time they got it jammed, and they come out and say, something wrong with your button. You must have broke it. He's like, I broke it. See, every time I come here, y'all do this, I'm just coming to get my car washed. You know, he just kind of talking. So God just started sassing, got pretty smart. Brother Brooks said, before you knew it, he had his face in the man's face. And then he looked in the back of the seat of the car and he saw a Bible. And he said, I'm sorry. And he said, but, you know, sometimes folk just push you and push you. And, you know, just the other day, a package that was supposed to be delivered here, I was waiting on, and, man, UPS just got the thing so messed up. I have to admit, I lost it in UPS. I was upset with them folk, and I let them know, so this is ridiculous. Y'all shouldn't be doing this, and, you know, I'm a customer. I just had to let them folk know.
And I went back and then I read the scripture. I'm like, Lord, did I really reflect Christ with my actions? Would somebody at UPS want to come to this church that I pastor? You the pastor of the church? I am. And you sometimes you it's this is what I call a nice gut check. Reading scripture like this, when I look at how Jesus responded, and then I look at how I'm responding, I say, Lord, I ain't measuring up. I got to reshape some things. I got to humble myself down, right? Stuff gonna happen, church. But in the midst of things happening, God is watching how we respond. Now, you know what? God gonna let UPS mess up my packages again so I can go right back to the office. And this time I gotta act like a Christian. It's okay. God bless you. Oh, Lord, help me, God. That's what we're supposed to say, but that ain't how we really feel. Amen, anyhow. Glory to God. Let me just keep reading here in verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Maybe we all need to read that together. When he suffered, he threatened not. How many of y'all threaten to go right to the top? I'm going above your head. I want to talk to your manager. Hello, somebody? When he suffered, he threatened not. How many of y'all got compensation? When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So pretty much I'm going to leave this in God's hands. I'm not going to fight this myself. I'm going to let God handle this. Lord, I need help. I want to just take my hands off of stuff and just let you be God in the situation. Amen. I'm going to read that verse again. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead in sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Thank God for his word. Let's go on to this next slide and we'll finish here tonight. Focusing here on verses 15 through 17 in Hebrews 9, where it says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. All right, a testament is like a will, and it cannot be actually that will can't be activated unless the testator dies. That's when the will actually becomes active. Here, I want to just hit this. The prophet says, now, the believer today, most people say he's a good man. He pays tithing to the church. He's a good member. That's very fine. That's a moral life. Now, no one can speak evil of that.
But that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus judged a man, a believer, a different type of character. Jesus, the last words that he said when he left the world, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that right? He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Is that right? Now, I want to read a couple things here regarding that. Let's go directly to some quotes here. This is out of the Message, Who is God? It says, if you were dying, this is slide 10, says, if you were dying, I've stood by their side. I've seen them that through that thought they were saved and held them when they were dying. I've seen those who really knew they were saved and went out screaming the victory. And I see some that thought they were saved, but when they got to death, they realized they didn't really have it. And then there's others that when they got to death, they knew they was ready to go, right? So he says, I've seen those who really knew they were saved and went out screaming the victory. That's right. I watched them in all phases as it comes. Be sure that you're right with God before you leave here. Don't take what somebody else says. You be sure yourself that you're right about God. Now, deity here with us, deity in us, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Is that scripture? Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, unto the end of the world. Then Christ is in his church until there's no more world. Then if we can find where Christ is working in his church, that's the church I want to be in. I say amen to that. Now, the believer today, most people say he's a good man. He pays tithing to the church. He's a good member. That's very fine. That's a moral life. Now, no one can speak evil of that, but that's not what I'm talking about. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm joining the prophet in saying that. That's not what we're talking about. I want to say this the right way. Sometimes people pay tithing to influence the pastor. That's not right. That's not right. You don't pay tithing to influence the pastor. That's not the way it works. You pay tithing because that belongs to God. That's what you do with tithing. Lord, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. This is, you know, whatever, Lord, however you do it. But it's not a thing, you know, because when I say influence pastor, maybe the pastor won't preach on this. Please don't do that. Don't do that. That ain't the right way to approach God, right? Look, when we talk about going into that most holy place, tithing is just, man, that's just like, wow. I seen a brother preach on tithing, and I told him, I'm going to have to steal what he did. I won't tell y'all now because I'll do it, and then I'll tell y'all where I got it from. But the thing of it is, don't use that to try to influence God or to influence the way things go in the church. Don't do that. Or maybe he won't preach on this because, no. Look, we haven't even reached believer status yet just because we're paying tithing. Y'all know non-Christians pay tithing. Non-Christians do that. And so that's beyond that, right? I mean, that's just how you keep the devil out your finances. When you pay tithing, you got the upper hand on the devil. Anytime the devil comes against your finances, you just go, just don't even have a mind battle. Open up your Bible to Malachi chapter 3 and read. And when you read, once you've done, when you know you've done your part, the devil got to back up. Amen. I done seen it happen. Coming to take this, coming to take that. Lord, you say, rebuke the devil for my sake. And if God said it, God will do it. I ain't never seen him fail. Amen. He done come through too many times. Glory to God. Sometimes it may not be when you want him, but he's always on time. But here, look at this, because it goes beyond that. When we talk about believer status, it's going, so he said, Jesus judged a man, a believer, a different type of character. Jesus, the last words that he said when he left the world, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Is that right? Now, every church will come that far. But what about the rest of it? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you believe it? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name said they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, or drink deadly things. Drink deadly things shall not harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And he was taken up from the midst of them, and the disciples returned with great joy and preached the word everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. Is that right? And it goes on and says, now that was to be preached until Jesus returned. Oh God, give us men and women of courage. Somebody who will stand and call right, right, and wrong, wrong. It's either right or wrong. I read that Mark 16. If that isn't the truth, I don't believe the Bible. If I don't believe the Bible, it wasn't for Jesus. It'll be here against him. He says, if I wasn't for Jesus, I'd be here against him. God grant the day when men and women will be what they say they are. If you're a Christian, live like it. Be like it. Act like it. If you're not, be against it. So people will know where you're standing. If I didn't believe it, I'd be against it. But I'm willing to put my soul on any phrase of that word to say that it's the truth. I believe that's the inspired word of God, and I believe that every word of it is inspired, and I'm willing to trust my life anytime on God's word and his promise, for it is true. You all remember the story the prophet told, and I'm going to read here from Mark 16. But he told the story of the mother that had a son, and she sent him off to Bible school. And while he was in Bible school, the mama got sick, and they sent for the son and said, look, you better come. Your mama ain't going to make it. She ain't got much longer. And then they sent another telegram saying, no, it's okay. Your mama made it. I mean, your mama's doing all right, so you can just stay where you're at. So, you know, years later, he came home from school. And when he did, when he came home from school, then he said, Mama, I knew that you were sick, you know, and everything. But what happened? I said, what happened, Mama? And he said, oh, this church up here, up the road, they come down and they prayed for me. The sisters in the church was concerned, and they just came down and said, well, you know, just to visit me. And then they got the pastor to come down, and he prayed for me. He read the scripture out of, you know, Mark 16. And when he read, you know, he prayed for me, and I was healed. So the boy said, you know, them people up the street, you know, them kind of like holy roller people, Mama, you know that, right? I said, yeah, I know, but they prayed, and I was healed. And he said, Mama, I learned in school that, you know, that part of Mark 16 that he read, is not even inspired. And he thought he said something deep. Educated. You know, I done let my mama know a little something here. And when he said it had a reverse effect. His mama screamed out, hallelujah. And now he know that he done taught that scripture, and they didn't say hallelujah in his class. That was that's deep. That's not even inspired. Wow. But his mama say, hallelujah. Like, son, mama, what you saying hallelujah for? Because you acting like them now. I was just thinking to myself, son, if God could heal me with the uninspired word, then what could he do with the inspired word? So, you know, I mean, mama put that educated boy right back in his place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This word works. Amen. Let's look at this. Mark 16, it says this. I want to just read verse 15. And it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Those things could not happen until after, you know, I mean, as far as going into all the world and preaching the gospel, that commission took effect after the testator died, right? So when Christ died, then this commission came upon the church. And as the disciples of the day, it's our job to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's read over here in John chapter 12, I believe. This is something that comes, John 14, I'm sorry. This is something that we receive after the testator dies. John 14 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let me keep going. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, let me just read that again. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. But I thought God so loved the world. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. So that's why Brother Belton asks the question, which world? Yeah, he loved the world, but which world? Because there is a world that cannot receive the Spirit of truth, and there's also a world that can receive the Spirit of truth. Amen. My question is, which world are you living in? Brother Troy showed y'all all the worlds. He went through multiple dimensions and showed y'all. So which world are you being influenced from? The one that you've been influenced from shows the one that you're living in. Because the world can't receive the Spirit of truth. All right. Amen. That's a sermon to come. I'm working on it. But because it said God so loved the world, I want to know which world. So let's start breaking those things down and make sure we got clarity and understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. You right here while you're sitting in this room, you're living in multiple worlds. And don't realize it. See, it's because you kind of limited by your five senses. You limited. That's the only thing you see. But actually, all you got to do is look at the influence, right? And your actions, reactions. Which world are you really reacting to or from? Are you reacting from an underworld experience, or are you reacting from an upper world experience? Sixth dimension or fifth dimension? All right. That's a sermon to come. Verse 17 again, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So the world won't see him, but you'll see him, because you live in a different place. Amen. You're living in that third compartment, the holies of holies, where it's only you and him in there. Everybody else can't see inside of there. It's you and him alone. Glory to God. See, the world won't see me, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And I love this verse 20, at that day. And Brother Branham said, what day is that? That's this day, where we're living at right now. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. These are things that go into effect after the testator dies. And Jesus Christ being the testator, he died. Now these promises are actually for the church, and we ought to be walking in everything that he promises. If you had a wealthy loved one that had a will and they left you in the will, you would go digging into that will to see exactly what belonged to you. Amen. And if you found out that it belonged to you, there's not one person going to be able to keep you from what belonged to you. If I had a person left me $1 million, you better believe I'm going to get it. And I'm sorry. Amen. That will not be a case where I have to be passive. No, that's going to be one I have to be a little aggressive, because this is what belongs to me. And I feel like the devil is robbing me of my blessing. So since the devil robbing me and it is my season, I'm supposed to chase devils. I'm supposed to be the aggressor. Praise the Lord. And the possessor. So, church, I tell you what, God has left us so much here in his word. Let's possess everything that he has for us. Once the testator is gone, once he's dead, we can walk in and claim everything that the testator has left us. I'm going to leave us there at that slide. I got a little bit more that I want to share, amen, on that. And we'll come back and hit that on next week. So let's just stop there for tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Thank you, God, that you could speak to us. Help us, oh God, to really grasp what you're trying to share with us here in Hebrews 9. There's so much, Lord, the enemy is doing to disrupt us, oh God, to cause us, Lord, to be blind to what is really going on. We have to look at this unseen world. There's some things happening all around us that the enemy is using against us, pulling us, Lord, lower and lower. But God, we want to go on a rapture, so we got to be pulled higher. And in order to make the rapture, we got to live an elevated life here on this earth. So help us, God, to go into that most holy place and to dwell there, to abide in that place. Never come out. Once we go in, to never come out, Lord, let it be for each and every one of us. Trust, oh God, that these things will not go over our heads or go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, may they register to the depths of our heart, even as we read there in 1 Peter. God, our actions have to be like yours. Our reactions have to be like yours. Help us to show the life of Christ, to manifest the life of Christ, God, in the lives that we live every day. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. Just remind you, amen, that we won't have service on this Friday, but next Friday we will be having service. And I got a guest minister coming, Brother Tom Ernest. He'll be coming from Kansas, so he'll be here speaking for us on next Friday as well as the following Sunday, the 29th. Amen. We have... on Sunday, Pinnacle Palms is coming up at 5:30. Amen. Keep that in prayer. So just keep Pinnacle Palms in prayer and everything. And those that are planning on going to Tucson, I did hear from Brother Israel today, and he said that he has a hotel there, the Hampton Inn at near the airport. He's going to send me the information where we can call. But the rate for the hotel is $79 a night for those that are going to Tucson in November. Brother Israel he'll send it over and I'll get that to you. I know that some have already purchased their tickets, but if you don't have your hotel, I'll give you the number where you can call and get your hotel. And there's some others that are looking to purchase tickets. I think what we're all going to try to do is leave out on Friday morning. Going and then coming back on Monday morning, amen, coming back. So I'm hoping to just fly right into Tucson rather than into Phoenix. I know it's cheaper to go to Phoenix, but it'll just be a lot more convenient to just go right to Tucson. So we'll try to get numbers on that and let everybody know so we can get those tickets purchased earlier. They'll be cheaper as we buy them earlier than later, so keep that in mind. Brothers, let's go ahead and take tonight's tithes and offering. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to give. May you use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. Thank you for meeting every need that we have according to riches and glory. God, we want to thank you for what we see you doing in this church. We really, really believe that this is our season for a new church, a new school. Lord, just the building fund, it seems like there's life
there. And God, you're blessing us to be able to give and all of that towards it. So we thank you for the abundance that you're giving to us. And we trust, oh God, that you just continue to meet the needs of your people as well as the needs of this church. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Holiness, holiness, what I long for. Oh, and holiness is what I need. Oh, holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Take my heart and mold it. Oh, so take my heart, oh, and mold it, and take my will and conform it. Lord, take my mind, oh, and transform it, Lord, to yours, oh, Lord. Amen. Father, that is certainly our desire, that we would walk in your righteousness, walk in your holiness. We'd be transformed, conformed, made into your very image, that we would be little messiahs on the earth today. God, let us be mindful of every opportunity we have to express Christ, to demonstrate, amen, his character. Let us be mindful of that, oh God, and not pass up on those opportunities. Let us learn from the mistakes. And God, I know I missed a great opportunity there, Lord, there in UPS the other day, different people that maybe we could have won them to Christ if maybe just handled things a little differently. So, Lord, help me to be mindful and forgive me, Lord, for missing that opportunity, for displaying wrong attributes, Lord. Lord, help me to manifest what I just read here in the book of Peter. So, Lord, I trust, oh God, that as we leave this place, going from this place, may you watch over us and may you keep us till we come back together again on Sunday morning. We come for a time of prayer at 7 o'clock, time of Sunday school at 9:30, and Lord, the service that would take place at 10:30. And God, as we also prepare for Pentecost Palms, may you speak and minister to our hearts and to our needs. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers. We'll come at this time to dismiss you.